Good afternoon and greetings to you all in Christ's most holy name. In our last study of the book of Proverbs, I mentioned that this book is not about how to live a morally upright life. Behind all these moral principles and precepts are spiritual applications, and the significance of this wisdom is to show us a life of foolishness without God and a life of fruitfulness and true blessedness in God or with God. I also brought up to us that when meditating upon these precepts in this book, it would be helpful to us to keep in mind the members of the cast as in a play. And in doing so, it will help us to appreciate and to understand the Proverbs better, and so that we can draw spiritual lessons from it. The main theme of this wisdom book, as you all know by now, is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who desire to know how to live a life that is fruitful and blessed and fulfilling in Christ, a meaningful life, can only do so when he or she has the fear of God in his heart or in her heart. It is a filial and reverential knowledge of God that comes only by grace through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without this reverential fear, without this true knowledge of God or who God is, there can never be a fulfilling, blessed and fruitful life for us. Looking at chapter 2 now of Proverbs, we see once again that it is the words of the Father to the Son. The words of the Father to the Son to direct him to the means of attaining divine knowledge or wisdom. It is the word of the Father to the Son to show him the advantage of having this divine knowledge. So then we ask, how are you and I to attain this wisdom? We see, first of all, the preacher showing to us in verses 1 to 9 of Proverbs chapter 2, he is showing to us the means of attaining knowledge and grace, which comes, as I've said before, only from God. Because God is the giver of this wisdom, of this knowledge. And to those who seek, to those who earnestly and diligently seek, God will indeed grant and give knowledge and grace to them. Secondly, the preacher goes on to list for us the immense and unspeakable benefits and advantage to be in possession of this knowledge of God, of this wisdom. You can see that in verses 10 to 15. This knowledge would serve to preserve us, would serve to deliver us from evil and wickedness, and from the strange woman, which of course is referring to all the vices in this world, in verses 16 to 19. Thirdly, the preacher goes on to show us, on the contrary, in verses 20 to 21, how true knowledge of God will lead us in the way of the good and the righteous. And in closing, in verse 22, for those who are wicked, to those who continue to persist, to reject the gospel, to reject wisdom, shall perish. Brethren, this is exactly the picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why I say this book is not for us to just read and gather some moral values so that we can practice it. And hopefully, it will get us out of trouble. It is not. It is the picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the book of Proverbs. Here, the gospel is illustrated as wisdom and knowledge of God. I brought this up the last time that parables, illustrations, or pictures are attached to each verse in the book of Proverbs. So it is here. To those who would come, to those who would respond to the gospel command to come, to those who would cry out in prayer, as we see in verse 3 here, chapter 2, they will receive grace and knowledge of God. Verses 6 and 7 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the" what? "The righteous." For those who are in Christ. "He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." Who are those that walk uprightly? It's the people of God. "The reverential fear of God will come upon the hearts of those who would seek, and this fear will lodge in their hearts, and it will grow." Those who are in Christ will be kept in the right path, and God will preserve the ways of his people. Look at verse 9. Thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, very good path. Those who are in possession of wisdom, of this wisdom, are those who have the gospel in their lives, in their hearts. The gospel is the wisdom of God to confound the wise and to confound the things which are mighty. 1 Corinthians 1:27. You want to be wise? You do not want to follow in the way of foolishness? Don't read any other books. Don't look to anyone else. Look to Christ. In him alone is true wisdom. But for those who have received it, those who have received this wisdom and this gospel in their hearts, it will bring about salvation in them. It is like what? Look at verse 10. It is when they have this wisdom, when wisdom enter into their hearts, it will be pleasant unto their soul. See the effect there? Furthermore, once this gospel is in the heart of a repentant sinner, it will give him, it will give her immense spiritual benefits. It will be of great advantage to him or to her. What then are the spiritual benefits? What are the advantage it would be to us who have the gospel, who have Christ in us? Verse 11 says, it will give him discretion and understanding that will preserve him and shall keep him. In other words, the gospel will make us wise and discreet, what? Unto salvation. You will never find this anywhere else. It is not looking at problems and gather up some moral values and try to practice it. You can do that, but it will not succeed. You will not succeed. This is the gospel of Christ. How would the gospel benefit us? Verse 12 says, it will preserve us from following the example of men who are walking in the way of sin, who are walking in the way of wickedness. You and I try on our own strength to walk away from all these vices, from all this attraction of the world. We will not succeed. You can try all you want, but it is the work of the gospel in the heart of the sinner that will bring about this. It is having this gospel, the knowledge of God in us, that will keep us, that will preserve us. How would the gospel be benefit to us? As I've mentioned, this is another aspect. We will not follow or be in the company of those who are against God, or those who will be walking contrary to the laws of God and of sound doctrine. The next benefit is this. Look at verse 16. To deliver thee from strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth her words, with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. This is to say that those who are in Christ, those who have the gospel, truly have the gospel in their hearts, are those who will not follow, who will not go in the way of associating themselves with those who are not of the same faith, who are outside of the union with Christ. They will not follow them. They will not walk in their ways. They will not follow their examples. Because they have understood. And once they have understood and received the gospel, it effected in them this repulsion. Repulsion to all these vices of the world. All this idolatry that usually comes with our association with those who are outside of the faith. These are some of the benefits and advantages which the recipient of wisdom, which is the gospel, will have in our lives, in your lives and in my lives. You will not be able to effect it yourself. You will not be able to do it yourself. You can hear, you can read the word of God, you can try to apply it in your lives, but if you do not have Christ in you, it will not be effective. If you do not have the Holy Spirit's help, it will not produce that result. This is the work of God through the gospel, through the Holy Spirit. These are some of the benefits. The Holy Spirit, through the work of the gospel, will produce in the believer the fear of God. You cannot gain this or attain the fear of God just by repeating 10 times in your mind, I must fear God, I must fear God, I must fear God. It won't come in. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is God who implants this fear of Him in you and me, in His children. It is through the work of the gospel. When we understand the gospel, truly grasp its meaning, then this fear will come in. This knowledge of God will take effect. On our own, we will never be able to attain this. And having this fear of God in us, having this gospel light in us, if you like, will positively lead us. In verse 20 says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and to keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Having this fear of God, having this gospel light in us, will positively lead us to walk in the way of the saints. We will enjoy and we will want to and we will desire to be in the company of the saints. We will not want to associate ourselves with more and more of those people who are outside. We want to be in the fellowship of the saints. We want to look at the examples of our brothers and sisters in Christ and be encouraged and be influenced by them, and so that we will also walk like them in the way of righteousness and truth. We will avoid all this association with the world. And we want to walk uprightly with God, just like our brothers and sisters in Christ around us. Brethren, can you see this powerful work of the gospel in us, in the life of a sinner who repents? Have you experienced that? It is not just gaining or attaining some instruction of how to live our life morally upright. It is the work of the gospel. Do not look at this book, Proverbs, and think that you can live out all the precepts listed here and gain the benefits of it. It is the work of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. This work, this powerful work of the gospel, not only bring about a transformation, it also bring about a life of walking and growing in truth and righteousness. You see the beauty of the gospel. You see how much the Lord has gave us and blessed us with. The powerful work of the gospel through His Holy Spirit. You cannot work this out in yourself. You cannot work this out in the friend's life. You cannot bring about this effect and have this fear of God and have this knowledge of God in you through reading some books or through anywhere else or any other methods. It comes from God. And not only that, it not only turned the heart of the sinner to the Savior, it also turned him, the sinner, away from the company of evil and from wickedness. It has both the work of the gospel, the power of the gospel has both effects, the negative and the positive effects. And then lastly, in verse 22, a warning is given. A warning is given to those who refuse wisdom. A warning is given to those who reject the gospel. The warning is given to those who refuse to hear the wisdom calling out to them, to command them to repent. Wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is commanding us to take heed, to repent, before God would suddenly cut us off. Those who reject, those who have been listening, but pay no attention to it, take no heed of the warnings, refuse wisdom, which is to refuse the gospel, and which is to say to refuse Christ, because the gospel is in Christ, or Christ is in the gospel. You will refuse that, be sure that destruction will come to you swiftly, suddenly, and not only that, they will be completely rooted out. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it, which means to say they shall not have a next generation to succeed their name. Brethren, God is calling out to you and me through wisdom. The gospel is wisdom. And God, like a father, is calling out to us to hear, to listen. For unless we hear, we will likewise perish in our sins. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. It is the gospel that commands us, the sinner, to come. Then, only then, will the sinner incline his ear unto wisdom and apply his heart unto understanding. Going back to verse 3 of Proverbs chapter 2. We will not incline. We will not seek God. We will not seek for wisdom. Let's be honest about it. None of us here will ever desire wisdom, will ever desire the gospel, will ever seek God. It is God who seeks us out. And when the gospel commands us, and through the help of the Holy Spirit we respond, then only then we will incline our ears unto wisdom and apply our hearts to understanding. The book of Proverbs, brothers and sisters, is not a moral code to keep us out of trouble and from all the vices of this world. You may look at it as very good. Indeed, it is good. Indeed, it is profitable when you study the book of Proverbs. But it is more than a moral code. It is the knowledge of God. The gospel is none other than the knowledge of God. Once our heart is in possession of the gospel, we will have the fear of God. If you desire to have the fear of God, you must have the gospel. No gospel, no fear of God. Only then
with the knowledge of God,
with the fear of God in our hearts, only then will we know how to live a fruitful, fulfilling life in Christ. Only then will we find meaning in life. Only then will we know which is the right path to take. Because the natural man will always take the wrong path. We do not know which is the right path. We are dead in sin and trespasses. And therefore we know not where to go. We are blinded. We cannot see our way. We do not know the way. And it's only when wisdom, the gospel, comes into us and work that mighty and wonderful work, will we be able to have that light to guide us in the right path. The only way to have true wisdom, the only way to have true wisdom, to have wisdom to guide us in the right path, in the right way that will lead to life everlasting, is nowhere else but to have Christ in us. It is to embrace the gospel. To have wisdom, to have true wisdom, is to embrace the gospel which God has given to us. True wisdom cannot be found in anyone or anywhere else except in God, who giveth it through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the heart of wisdom. If you and I desire wisdom, do not look anywhere else, but look to Christ. Cry out to Him, and He will give it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, eternal God, we thank Thee for this brief consideration of Thy word. O Lord, as You have spoken, we ask that You will take heed. We ask that You will help us to take heed of Thy word. For those who truly seek, for those who truly desire wisdom and knowledge of God, help us to remember that we can only find it in Christ, in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, Lord, the heart of wisdom is Christ. And so we pray that You will help us to look unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith. As each one of us, Your children, journey on as we begin a new week of attending to our various responsibilities and duties, and even in our routines, even in our leisure and our recreation, help us to remember You. Help us to fear Thee. For those who still do not know You, for those who still do not understand what is the fear of God, for those who still do not have this wisdom, this gospel, they may have heard it so many times. Father, we pray that Your Spirit will bring Your word to bear upon their hearts, will convict them of their sin, that Thy Spirit will open their spiritual eyes, that they may see Thy truth, that they may realize of their need of a Savior, that there is no one else to save them except the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they truly desire wisdom and knowledge of God, it can only be found in Your Son, the Lord Jesus. And so turn them to Thee, Lord, and turn us, Your people, to You, to walk and to seek for this righteousness, for this holiness of the knowledge of God. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.